Wonderful, wonderful to be able to share the gospel. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. When we were in England and I was speaking in a church in Brighton, and it was just lovely to meet people from different backgrounds and many, many difficult circumstances that people go through there as well as here. So the gospel is the same anywhere you go in the world. The gospel of the Lord Jesus never changes. Everything is the same. We preach about Jesus, we talk about Jesus, we love Jesus, and it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the most wonderful experience to spend your life serving Him. And the message this morning, Debbie was reading to me during the week, and there's a portion began to speak to me, and again, what sometimes the Word of God does, it makes you begin to examine your own life and see where you're at in your walk, as I say, with the Lord. And this was a verse, and if I can find it for you here, have it marked. And it's from the book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And he was a man that had a great heart for the things of God, but never seen a lot of success in his preaching. But this verse spoke to me during the week. And it's out of Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. I want you to read that and then we'll have a wee word of prayer. And it says here, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding back, and I could not." Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a living word, and it always wants to impart something of the reality of who you are, of the reality, what it is to walk with Jesus, what it is to fellowship with you, Lord, day by day. And sometimes, Lord, we can neglect some of that communion and walk with yourself. But I pray this morning that, Lord, as Jeremiah's heart was stirred, and as you began to stir my heart, Lord, that we would again, Lord, be touched by the Word of God, and that it would be like living bread to our souls. How we worship you today, because we know that you are in this place. We know that you're with your people. We know that, Lord, you want to impart, Lord, your blessing, Lord, upon each one. And so we commit your word to you. Make it live to our hearts, Lord. Because, Lord, it's a living word. And it doesn't matter about time. It's the same word that spoke to Jeremiah speaks to us this morning. So bless it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now this word began to really hit my heart because a number of years ago, I'll not tell you how long back it was when I became a Christian, but I was about 18, but I'm quite a radical individual, and I always thought Christianity, there was a lot of hypocrites, and I could see hypocrites in my life. But one meeting I was in, and the lady said something that really hit me hard. She says, you know, whatever we were singing, she says, "Don't be singing it if you don't mean it, for you're just an old hypocrite." And I began to realize, I'm just the biggest hypocrite here too. And that night I gave my life to Jesus, but it was like a fire hit my body. I can't explain that. But it was just like as if I was on fire. From I walked out from that room and went up began to witness to people and went home, and I seen my father sitting and I said, "I've got to tell him what I did the night. It was just burning in me." And I says, "Look, you see the night, Dad, I became a Christian." And he says, "Well, that'll not do you much harm." So that was his opinion about it. I thought, you know, the building site, the next morning, I've got to tell him that night Jesus touched my life. And it was like a fire, and I began to tell them as they gathered up in the room, the brickies and the joiners and the electricians, and I began to tell them, because it was like something burning on me. And I said, look, see, last night I became a Christian, and there'll be no more bad language out of me. And that was all I could say, and of course they laughed at that. And through my life it's been something like that. There's something burning on me to tell people. And you know, sometimes as you go along, you start to get a wee bit cooler. And you don't have that fire, as it were, in your soul for the lost. And, you know, like, I've been in a shown area, and there's times I just looked out on that mountainside, and I could feel the burning to get out to tell them about Jesus. And there was like a fire, excuse me, that was burning inside me. And Jeremiah, he was saying, even though nothing was happening, and it might be the same in Falkara, I don't know. Sometimes we can be in a place where very little is actually happening. And you wonder, you know, is it worth it? Is it worth going out? Is it worth, you know, we give out about 5,500 John's Gospels around all the area of Inishowen, knocking the doors and not seeing very much happening. And you know, sometimes you can look at that, and sometimes your own fire for God can begin to dull down. And this is what God was challenging me this week about. No, you know, the fire of God is not to go out. And I've been reading this chapter, and it's been really, really speaking to me about just what the Lord has been doing. Because fire in the Word of God is to do with holiness. It's to do with purification. It's to do with something that God is doing within your heart. And that's what's important. It's more important for that to take place. Because once that takes place, then that fire goes out of you to other people. But if that fellowship, if that's not happening within your heart, then you become like the church in Revelation, lukewarm. You know, not as much on fire for the things of God as you once were. And this really began to grab my heart, because you read the scriptures and the book of Exodus and God, you know, meets Moses on the top of the mountain, and so the whole mountain burned with fire, because it's fire that flows, it's life, it's power. And this began to really touch my heart, you know, and I went back into the Old Testament, and I'm going to read you a few thoughts from there, from the book of Leviticus, and it's chapter 6 of Leviticus, and chapter 9 and verse 24. And I'm going to read you just a few verses from chapter 6. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his son, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers, and he shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them aside beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry these ashes outside to the camp, to a clean place. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order on it, and it shall be the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out." Another verse in Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 24. "And the fire came from above. The Lord had consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." But I want you to see something. That fire fell from above. It wasn't what man had started. It was the fire of God that lit that altar up. It was the fire of God that began to burn. And When you look at that scripture, it's symbolizing that God was with them. And when we pray and we ask for the fire, we're literally calling down the very presence of God. We're literally saying, oh God, come down amongst us. Burn, as it were, amongst us. Let your power be upon us. In these days when there's darkness, when there's difficulty, when there's nothing but trouble and war and murder and killing and destroying, God, we need the fire of God to come down from above. Because that's what happened. They set the altar, but the fire says came from above. And then this, you know, they were warned. That fire is not to go out. And I believe the Lord was speaking to my own heart, saying, don't let the fire of God go out. You've got to stoke it. He lit it, but you've got to keep it going. And this was the problem with most of us, I think. We get touched. And there's like a fire going on in us. But we have to keep it going. You have to clean out the ashes. You have to start to separate that which is, just of the flesh, and begin to take hold of what God takes hold of us for. Because when we say, we need your fire, the presence of things are possible. Because fire is always coming to empower us for service. You wonder why sometimes you can't serve the Lord. You need the fire of God. And it's the fire that empowers us to be of use to Him. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist says, when He comes, He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And there was to be a passion, there was to be a desire, there was to be a something going on from within. You see, it doesn't necessarily go from your head, it comes from the heart. It comes from deep inside of you. And this is what the fire of God does. Some people believe in the baptism or the filling of the Spirit, whatever word you want to put. I don't care what you put on it. Just get filled. But in getting filled, there is a fire that goes with it. And that's what the Lord has been really speaking to me about from these scriptures. You know, this fire that comes from the Lord. You see, when the people saw it, what did they do? When they were in, imagine being in a place and it's all set and fire comes down from above. Would you not fall on your knees? Would you not worship? This is what they did. They began to worship. They began to say, whew, we're in the presence of God here. This is powerful. Well, you see, nothing has actually changed. Because when you come together like this, you are brought into the presence of God. God is where two or three would gather in my name. We don't eat, we say it, but we don't believe it. That God comes to His people. He does not just stand at a distance. He does not just be in heaven. He is a God that comes near. He's a God that draws near. If you can sense it this morning, God is in this place. Otherwise, He breaks His word. He says, if you gather in my name, there I will be in the midst. And when I come into meeting, I just say, Lord, I want to recognize today, you are here. You are with us. You didn't leave us like orphans. You come to us because you are our Father. And because you care for us. And because you want to minister to us. And because you want to strengthen us. And you want to build us up. You want to bring something from within. From the very depths of our heart. You know, it was just so amazing when you actually sit down to think on. You know, no matter where attacks come from, no matter what difficulty that you would go through, you know, when that passion, when that fire, when that desire is within you, then He gives you grace to overcome. He gives you grace to go through it. And we all go through many, many difficult things in life. But it is the Lord and the very presence of God burning within us that enables us to walk through those difficult things in life. And you know what? Sometimes there's things happen and you think, I could never survive that. And I know, because I watched my first wife die with you know, for 15 years with Alzheimer's. And I would, if somebody said that to me, I could never go through it. But you see something, God says, I will be with you in the fire. I will be with you when you go through the difficulties. I will carry you. I will be your husband. I will be your friend. I will be the one that will come and comfort you in the midst of all of that. And you know, the more I began to think about it, you know, like in all fires, and we have a fire in Kildare, we've been staying quite cold at the minute, and I'm lighting the fire, but and Debbie doesn't know nothing about this, but I have to clean the ashes out because the old fire will not burn. And if there are ashes, it'll not burn. And that's what they had to do. They had to clear out the ashes, you know, to maintain the fire. Because the fire will go out. If we carry on holding on to some old rubbish of thinking or ways of living, then it's like ashes. And that fire, well, it might be a wee flicker, but you clean the ashes out and you let the air get at it. And I'll tell you, it just comes blazing up again. And, you know, I was thinking in that scripture, which I will read to you, absolutely amazing, you know, scripture in Isaiah. And it says this here, to console those who mourn in Zion. And what? To give them beauty for ashes. You see, you know, sometimes you look at your life and you think it's like a pile of ash. There's not much life in it. But I tell you something. He gives us beauty for ashes. He gives us the oil of joy for mourning. He comes and He does things that changes us, not externally, but from inside. And we need, that's where we need to go, to find that inside. You know, those things have to be taken out because there's things in our lives that messes up. Situations, you know, in our lives that sometimes we spend and we give so much attention to that we neglect and forget that God is on the throne. I mean, I sometimes get tired. I said to them, sometimes listen to people about mourning, about the price of this and the. And I know we have to look at these things. I know I'm not stupid. I'm sensible. But listen, you can spend a lot of time, like, you know, lamenting about this and lamenting about up with us as you go to get a doctor and you can't get one and you have to wait 2 years for something to take place. And we could spend our lifetime. But you know what? We're forgetting something. God is the God of the day, of the moment, the God of the impossible. We pray it. We say, Lord, you know, nothing is too hard for you. And yet the moment something comes up, it is too hard for him. Because we start lamenting and groaning and we go on and we get inside instead of out. Instead of looking up. You see, God's not dead. There could be wars all over the world. And they're difficult. But God is on the throne. Satan does not rule. It is God that sits on the throne. Satan is nothing as far as God is concerned. He can, in any moment, anywhere, he can stop him. Listen, Satan tried to get him so many times, even in the where he was being tempted. And Jesus, the Son of God that spoke a world into being, and this little creature comes up to tempt him. I mean, we forget that, don't we? He is all-powerful. He is the one that sits upon the throne. And you know, I was reading a verse this morning from Lamentations, unusual book, but there's a verse that says, though the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because His compassions, what? Fail not. His compassion, His love for you does not fail. No matter what's going on, no matter what you're going through, His compassions fail not. What does He say? Because they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Are you not thankful this morning for the mercies of God? Are you not thankful that God has been merciful to you and merciful to me? We have so much to give you the Lord praise for. And to find new mercies every day. To find new mercies. To look. And you know what? He is merciful. He is a merciful God. And He wonderfully comes to us. There's a verse in Hebrews, and it says this: therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Let us continually do it. And it doesn't say, there's no conditions on that. It doesn't say, well, if everything's going well, then you should offer your sacrifice of praise. It says, therefore by Him. Do you understand? It's by Him. It says here, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that the fruit of our lips is given thanks to His name. And sometimes, you know, I think we forget to give thanks. This says, therefore, enter His gates with thanksgiving and with praise. And we say, I know I do anyway, that sometimes the Lord has to convict me that I'm far too miserable in my thankfulness of what God has and is doing for me. And this, the scriptures are so encouraging for us to do that, to come and to understand, God, You love me so much that You gave Your life on the cross. You love me so much that You died for me. You love me so much that You took my sin upon Your body on the tree, died in my place, that I would be free, that I would have a life and an abundance of life. Not just life. It's life more abundant that God intends us to be. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil. You're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. My cup runs over. It's just not half empty. And we live in a world where everybody's cup is half empty or half full. Listen, forget about the half full part. God came that we would have an abundance. He didn't come to just get us halfway up. He came so that we would have life, and life more abundant. It's not good enough, last week's blessing. It's not enough for us, you know, yesterday's blessing. We come and it is a daily taking of the living bread. It's a daily being in fellowship with God. Now sometimes that can work its way out in time where you get to do it. Other times it can be, you could be driving along the road and you can be turning your heart to the Lord. You can be out for a walk and you can be praying. There's so many ways that we can have fellowship with the Lord. It is important. You know, this fire didn't go out for 800 years. And none of us are going to live that long. That fire was lit. And they kept it going 24/7. And the reason why they did, because they knew that as long as that fire was burning, the presence of God was with them. But you know what? When Nebuchadnezzar came up and he destroyed the temple and he put the fire out. And they were carried away to Babylon. And the fire of God had gone. And I just was praying, God, don't let the fire of God go out in Falkara. Don't let the fire become less. But let it ignite. Let it burn. And if it burns in your heart somewhere, that fire will have an effect to heat somebody else. You ever see people come on cold and you have a good fire going? But they want to get up to it. And I'm telling you something now. That's the secret that I believe in my heart, is to keep the fire burning, is to keep coming to the Lord. Keep saying, Lord, my heart is getting a bit lukewarm. Don't let it become lukewarm. Continue to strengthen it so that I can be that blessing to other people. And as I say, Nebuchadnezzar came up on 586 and he put it out. Why? Because before it, the people were backsliding anyway. And there was no fire left. But God comes to fill every man and every woman, you know, with something of the presence of His blessing. The upper room, there was 120. Man, they knew something of the fire of God. They knew something of the baptism or filling of the Holy Spirit that took them out. But you see, experience or emotions is not enough. Had to be something within them. When they went out, they spoke, it says, with a holy boldness. And just a few chapters later, it says, these men that have turned the world upside down have come here also. And I hope to be saying that about Falcarragh. These people that are turning Falcarragh upside down, they're here also. You know, because the gospel still carries absolute, total authority. It was always to flow like a river to touch others. Whenever the Apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy, this is what he says in 1 Timothy verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And I know the world probably would think you're a bit crazy, but let them think it. You know, God gives us a sound mind. It gives us a completely different aspect of life to be lived. You know, you see, Paul said, I remind you. I'm telling you. I'm reminding you. You know I told you. But I'm going to remind you again. And when I come to Falcarragh, I need to remind you again. I want to remind you that you're called out. You know, you're the ecclesia, the called out ones in Falcarragh. You're the ones that's called out to carry the gospel to those that are perishing and dying. There's times my heart begins to break within me when I begin to see the horrors of people living without God, going through religion and going through just in and out and no knowledge of who Jesus Christ really is. It happened, as I said, I've told you before, it happened to me, and I began to understand this. You know, I was going down to Mobile, and there's a big chapel, and there's a graveyard, and it was raining. And this man was standing with his cap off, and I didn't think, but I was going down the road, and God began to come on me, and began to speak to me, and I was floods of tears, standing, and nothing but death all around him. And I went back up, and he was gone. But I began to look at the grave where he was standing. I began to see generations of Irish men and women that went down under the grave. And you know, I look around me and I feel, oh God, we need revival. We need the fire of God to bring revival. That we see people that are perishing. You cannot work it up. It's only the fire of God. It's only the presence of God that can change you, to make you to what he really wants you to be. And that really began to break my heart, because I began to realize, you know, I see the people, but I don't see them. I don't fully see them. And God began to speak to me more and more along these ways. And I remember going up to the doors as we're giving out the John's Gospels. And I remember saying, Lord, I don't care enough for these people. I'm in tears trying to go up to speak to people and realize I don't really care or love them as I should. And I remember walking down that path and the Lord speaking to me, you might not care, but I care. Even though you've went there, I still care. I care for those people you went up to. I care for those houses, those doors that you've knocked, because I see them. And I didn't see them. And you know, when we understand that it's all to do with God, and it's nothing to do with you, It's to do with the Holy Spirit that comes within you and the fire of God that's burning in your soul to tell, like they did in the days of Pentecost and in many, many revivals, how God's Spirit began to be poured out and there was a move of God. And you know, I was scribbling down and says, if you keep the fire burning, the fire will keep you burning. Maybe that doesn't make sense to you, but it's the fire that keeps us burning. And we just have to look after it. But the fire will keep us burning. And, you know, we come to a God who's a God of fire. And he's a God on fire. He's not lukewarm when it comes to his passion and his love for you or for me. He's a God on fire. And he's a God of fire. So God, help us this morning, because, you know, we will go through many things, but I tell you something, the fire will keep you going. The fire will keep burning. As long as you want the fire of God, it will keep burning. You know, as always, the tendency of fire is to go out. But listen, don't let the fire go out in your heart this morning. Hold on, hold on. Because God has something for you to do that I cannot do. He has something for you to do in Falkara that I cannot do. And there's things that I have to do that you cannot do. God brings us into a body. And it's not because we are super preachers or super teachers or super anything. All he's looking for is a heart that is passionately in love with him. And he can take the simplest, the weakest, and he can use them just so powerfully, like a hammer that can break the rock in pieces. May God give us strength this morning to empower us in these days when there's so much to discourage. I just want to bring a word of encouragement to you this morning. Listen, God cares. God loves. God Almighty wants to make provision. God wants to give you that sense of his presence day by day. Carry that more than anything else. And have the presence of God with you. Remember that. It's not an intellectual thing. You know, we accept it and listen, you know, it's there. It's inside. He does not deal with all the wee fussy things outside. He deals with that which is going on in the depths of your heart. May God bless you this morning and strengthen you here in Falkara. Can I pray? And, oh God, oh, I pray you will come to us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will let Lord, the fire of your presence, Lord, fill our hearts, Lord, to overflowing. Lord, we see, Lord, the need is so great, and we see how weak and insignificant in ourselves we really are. But Lord, we thank you that one with God is a majority. One with you, Lord, you can do. It is not us, Lord, it's you. You and you alone, Lord, that works out your plans and purposes. You're the one that brings and does miracles. You're the one that, Lord, miraculously can move in situations as we pray into them. So we commit ourselves to you this morning again, Lord. I'm thanking you, Lord, for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us today, Lord. And so, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the thanksgiving, Lord, this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yeah.